Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Wow, that's a wonderful hymn. I've always liked that, Ruthie. How about you?
It's gorgeous. It actually brings back amazing memories of when I was little. It really does.
Well,
I
just want to tell everyone, welcome to the first segment of the Reborn Identity Show. I am Vivian Kelly, and here with me I have Ruth Munoz. Ruth, doesn't it bring those great memories from times past? So tell me,
oh my goodness.
Tell me, how's everything going? This is our first night, and I am so excited that we have some listeners out there that are plugging in to hear our first show. So you want to tell us briefly what the Reborn Identity is?
Definitely. First of all, I wanted to say good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in, and we really hope that you enjoy this journey that we're taking on the Reborn Identity Show. Basically, what our show is about is to reach out to Christians from all faiths and from all walks of life who are or who have been dealing with any perplexities that life has thrown your way. Whether it be from domestic violence, depression, spiritual issues, anything that has brought you down and has made you lose hope. But on the flip side, we'll also be dealing with some fun topics along the way, things that we think might be of interest to our listeners, you know. So basically, we seek to empower everyone to enjoy the little things in life that God provides and to live life to its fullest. And we here at RBI, which is what we call Reborn Identity, invite individuals with testimonies as to how God has brought them through life's journey. Whatever your journey is, whether it's depression, domestic violence, prostitution, gangs, the occult, or anything else, we're not here to judge. We're here to be empowered by your testimony on how God has brought you through this. And so we just want to hear how the Holy Spirit has been able to establish in you a new identity, the reborn identity. And that's what our show is about,
And I'm sorry to interject. Not only that, it's just the victory that we get. Because we're fighting so much. And you know how we say in Ephesians 6 that we fight not against flesh and blood, but principalities. We want to see and we want to hear victory in the stories. We want to see how the Lord, and if you're not in the position of victory yet, by hearing the testimonies of others before you that have won the victory should give you a glimpse of what Christ is, what Christ wants us to see. It's not always about the downside, like Ruth Munoz said. It's the upside. There's another, the flip side is the victory in Jesus.
Amen, sister. That's right.
And you and I have some victories.
Jesus is amazing. I love my Jesus.
Yes. And you know, it's funny because, you know, I know Ruthie from, wow, Ruthie.
Way back. From the womb.
Yes, basically.
We've known each other from the womb, if that's even possible. We were playmates back then.
Yes. And so, you know, the Lord has impressed upon us. And it's funny because I was talking to Ruthie, and I said, Ruthie, you know, God wants us to do this. And she was like, what? Ruthie, you tell him. You were like shocked.
My thing was, why me? Because I am so not anywhere near the perfection. And I know that we are not perfect, nor will we ever be perfect. But as a Christian, you always strive to be as much like Jesus or to reflect Jesus in your life. And I know that I fall short every day, you know, I always pray for grace and compassion and patience to get me through the day. And God is really, really good. But, you know, despite all that, I you know, still feel unworthy of this position. I am humbled by it. And I honestly, I can't understand why God would choose me, but I never questioned God.
And you know me, I always question God.
I did one time, and I lost. I lost that battle. So from that moment forward, I have learned not to question Him because He just knows so much more than I do, and He sees so many more things. And eventually, those things will come to light, and it'll make sense. You'll have that aha moment, like, dude, oh my gosh, I'm so happy that, like, God was looking out for me then to get me to the place that I am in now to be able to deal with whatever, you know, A, B, and C it's going to be. So that's my story.
It's funny that you said that because let me ask you a question. Do you believe it's a myth that once you get baptized, you immediately are perfect?
Well, I mean, there's two ways to look at that. I mean, in terms of when you're baptized, before you're baptized, you accept Jesus, and in accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're immediately saved. And you're receiving the Holy Spirit. And the more you walk in faith and the more you spend your quiet time reading the Bible and journaling and
building a relationship,
you know,
with Christ.
Building your relationship, the more the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And you start to see a change. You know, the more in tune that you are with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, not because you went in the baptismal water and came out means that you're going to be perfect. You're still going to stumble.
Exactly.
You know.
There is. In
because
that
at the end of the day, you're still human.
Exactly. And that's what, you know, and I noticed, and I'm going to tell you what happened. I have met really super conservative Christians, and I have nothing against them. However, the mentality sometimes can be a little bit judgmental, and I have to go, whoa, just as long as I can, I don't, you know, the Lord keeps on telling me, don't become that which you kind of question, but seek me first. And, you know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all will be added unto you. So what I have learned is that there's a certain myth that once you've been baptized, immediately overnight you should change. But the reborn identity starts with a process. And the process is the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you give in to Jesus Christ, you do get to know who he is, and then you get baptized, and you continue that walk with him. In that walk, there has to be some transformation. Unfortunately,
right,
some people get stuck to become, I have to be perfect. No, God will help you. You can't do it on your own. It's through his Holy Spirit that transformation occurs. But there's that myth that we have to become perfect immediately. I think that is in school.
But that's, you know, that's the key word, that it's a myth. And at the end of the day, I mean, this is my philosophy, and I may be wrong, you know, but this is my school of thought on all this, is that it's not my place to judge. And as humans, you always are going to have an opinion. So, you know, we got to be real about that. Because as humans, we always will have an opinion. And I remember, like, when I first got saved, man, I had to really pray because, girl, did I love to gossip. And I just love to be in the mix and hear it all and just get all the juicy, you know, tidbits. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I love that stuff. And, you know, I was reading the New Testament. I would read, you know, after I would put the girls to sleep, I would read. And I went through the entire New Testament. And it really started speaking to me about, you know, the gossip thing. And so that was one of the things that I had to pray really, really hard, you know, that God would give me grace on that. And it wasn't overnight. It took some time. You know, and every now and then I still, you know, fall backwards. But he delivered me from it for you know, for a very, very long time, you know. But what I've learned along the way is, you know, God can deliver you from something. But if something is has a stronghold in your life, whatever that is, you know, like I said, we're not perfect and we never will be perfect. And then, and you know, it's unfortunate that some people do, you know, strive for perfection or look for perfection in others, but the only perfect human was Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know, but what I was trying to say is that, you know, God can deliver you from something, but if something has a stronghold on you and you don't keep connected to God and praying, you know, for that strength, you leave the door open for Satan and temptation to come into your life, and you can fall back. And so, you know, I say this from my life experience, you know, if you don't have that stronghold on prayer, you know, that open call to God. And for me, you know, I learned along the way, you know, as a single mom, my time was, like, really very limited. And so I had to learn creative ways to be able to do my quiet time or to be able to pray to God or, you know. So for me, I started just having conversations, you know. I would be driving, and I wouldn't close my eyes, obviously, because I didn't want to crash the car, but I would be having a prayer with God, with my eyes open, but just as a conversation, like, you know, like you would talk to a friend, like you would talk to, you know, your parent, and just saying, you know, just laying it out there, just bearing your soul and just, you know, having a real conversation. And over time, you know, he does answer. He answers in his time, which may not be my timing, but, you know, he taught me a lot of lessons over time. And so, you know, like I said before, you never get to that complete point of perfection because mm-hmm. that's just not not biblical. It's just not going to happen. No one is going to be perfect on this earth except Christ. But you can start living a life that is more reflective of Christ.
And which we
and that
reflect.
I think is as,
yeah.
And, right, and I think that's as close to perfection as we as humans can ever, you know, strive to be.
Now, do we
need
and, the Holy
but,
Spirit?
But it is a process. It is a process, and I think it's a process that will take your entire life because it's about being focused. It's about being
and
focused.
And I agree with you because of the fact that the only thing, what can we take to heaven? What's the only thing we can take to heaven?
Me, myself, and I.
it's our character. It's our character. So when we talk about reborn identity, the identity is in the character aspect. And, of course, we need the Holy Spirit, too, as we diligently pray for the Holy Spirit every single day. You know, the old man dies. We crucified in him. We started getting a spirit transformation. Now, you know, I was talking with a future guest. His name is Pastor Augusta, and he used to be a gang member, and now he's a pastor. And so the transformation was from gangster to pastor. But you don't have to be a pastor.
Right.
You know, from, you know, Mary Magdalene, what was her profession? She went from one profession to professing Christ. Isn't that amazing? Tell us a little bit, you know, we're going to, so the audiences can start really noticing and knowing who you are. You say you are a single mother, and I know that you travel a great deal, and you know several languages, and you're this awesome woman of God. Tell
well,
us a little
you.
Bit more about yourself.
good. Okay. I don't really like talking about myself, so you have to bear with me, but I am a single mom. First-generation American. My parents are from the Dominican Republic. They're now deceased. I have two girls. My youngest one is a senior in high school, and I have a gorgeous grandson. And I speak four languages. Currently back in school.
Right on.
It's a little bit rougher at my age than it was at 20, but I really felt led last year. I really felt like God was putting it on my heart to go back to school and learn Chinese, Mandarin. And so that's what I'm doing. So I'm majoring in I've lived in several countries. I served in the U.S. Army. Let's see, what else? I used to sing back in the day. I still sing for my Lord every now and then. And I definitely always sing in the shower. And that's pretty much it. I have a crazy sense of humor. And people always tell me I have an infectious laughter. So I hope that you don't find it annoying because it might escape every now and then. And that's pretty much it about me. So what about you?
Well, what about
Vivian?
Me? I'm from the Bronx, now live in California, Cali.
South Bronx.
From the South Bronx, the old good old days. And,
that's right. Me too.
And, you know, I do have two kids and three grandkids, two beautiful daughters, and I'm married to a wonderful gentleman. And, you know, I just a little bit about my history, the reason why the reborn identity once again. You know, the Lord has a sense of humor. I mean, look at the platypus. What is that? But with me, I call the Christian platypus. I was raised Christian, and I left, and I got into the occult. And at that process, I was also, one time, well-to-do. And I swore I was never going to come back to Christianity. In fact, I was just waiting for the bottom to drop so all the Christians can, you know, be persecuted. And guess what? The Lord called me. And I was like, nope, I'd rather be Jonah. And he sent a big fish in the size of a financial destitute. And I started hearing his voice, but not because of the financial. I just started really seeing that the world is changing, and it's not going for the better, although we can make our environment better. We, you know, cognitively we can choose that. But spiritually, it's going, you know, it's going differently. And so in 2004, I started studying. And in 2005, I got rebaptized. And now I am a lay evangelist. And I'm going to go into, I'm still praying on it, but I've been called to the ministry. And I'm thinking about it strongly. Like you said, you don't negotiate with the Lord. And you always listen to him. I negotiate with God. I kind of do stats and statistics, and I try to make him understand, and he just must be laughing, going, "Oh, you foolish little girl, don't you know I know?" So after a while, I have to just kind of say, "Lord, please don't humble me, but if you do humble me in such a way that I don't get hurt that much." And humbling processes are not easy. And so, well, needless to say, I have been asked by the Lord to change my ways and to find a reborn identity. And that's my process. And so what I've been doing, a lot of things for the Lord and counting it all joy. And when it's not something to count it all joy, still under my breath, try to count it all joy and learning how to just be able to say, okay, Lord, I give my hands up and you take care of it. So with that said, you know, we're heading for something great, and God will bless our show. And looking forward to hearing other people's testimonies and where they come from, where God took them out from, and how they're impacting lives of other people, like, you know, our next guest. So tell us
about our next guest. Oh, my goodness. Can I tell you about our next guest?
Please do. Please do.
Okay, this person that is coming on made such an impact on my life, and I'm pretty sure that she made it on Vivian's life as well as many, many others. And because of her, I will tell you that I'm a flight attendant. I don't know if I've said that before. So I come across many interesting people along the way. But because of her, every time I come across an educator, I always have to stop and tell them thank you and tell them about our next guest. And they're always shocked. But I tell them how important their job is as educators, and that even though we may not tell them in the moment or ever, you know, that they do have an important and amazing impact in our lives. And our next guest is our first great teacher, Vivian's and mine. Yes, I said first grade.
I know, and let's not say how long that was.
My goodness gracious, I don't even want to go there. But, I mean, seriously, she was our first grade teacher, and this was back in the age of innocence. When we went to a startup Christian school, and it was primarily Black and Hispanic kids, funded by the school and obviously the parents. I mean, not the school, the churches and the parents. And it was started by this. Oh, I don't know that he did all the work on his own, but I know that this amazing pastor, Pastor Santos, remember Pastor Santos, did a lot of the work to get this school on the ground. But anyway, I remember that our next guest, who is very petite, but in spite of like being so petite, she is such a forceful and full of life and amazing woman. She, to me, when I was, you know, 5-6 years old, she was bigger than life. And to me, she's even more bigger now, you know, now that I'm a full grown adult. But I remember that she would take groups of us to her house for the night. Remember that?
Oh, yes. I loved it. I love it. That
oh, my goodness. And that is one of the memories.
Me.
That was so much fun to get away from the city, to go to a house, you know. I think that was the first time I'd been to a house that I could remember, you know, not an apartment, a house.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, we got to hang out with her family and get treated, you know, like one of the family. And that just, you know, that's one of, like, the most pleasant memories of my childhood, the time that she took out of the classroom hours to still, you know, show an interest in us and mentor us and love her. So I think I said a lot about her. So why don't we just bring her on? Oh,
okay.
I love you, and I'm so glad to have you here, Mrs. Abadir.
Okay. Before I bring her on, I also want to say that was the first time in my life that I mean, I used to look at her, and I used to just think she was an angel. I don't know. She used to be an angel. So I will bring her on, and I'm also going to bring her daughter, Esther Almadine, who happens to be. Hello, caller?
Yes.
Yes, my name is Abadir.
Mrs. Abadir.
Yay, Mrs. Abadir.
Esther, are you there?
How are you?
I am.
Okay. Thank you so much
Hi,
for
Esther.
Coming on.
Hi.
We are so excited that you guys are on our show. We have so much, you know, a lot of accolades for you, Ms. Abadir. You don't know how much you have touched our lives, even these many years.
You really have.
Thank you,
honey. Still continue to touch mine. Seriously, you don't understand, like, how when we got that opportunity to go to your house and see you out in California, my goodness. I mean, I had searched for you. You don't understand how many years I've been searching for you. So to be able to have found you, Facebook is amazing, by the way, people, if you want to find someone. and to just see you and be able to spend that time of fellowship with you and your family, that was just such an amazing gift, and I'm just so thankful for that. Thank you so much, Mrs. Abadir.
Welcome.
Yes.
We enjoyed it, too. We were so glad to know you, to see you.
Well, you know what, Ms. Abadir, let me ask you a question. You know, I've always wanted to know, what brought you to the South Bronx? I mean, you know, it was a time where the Bronx, you know, I'm going to tell you, the Bronx now we're going to be dating our age here. In the 70s, you had the platform shoes and the polyester. In the 70s, the Bronx, the South Bronx was so bad. What inspired
you? Yeah, it was burned down. It was burned down in abandoned buildings. Let's be real now.
Tell us about.
And the only Caucasians you saw were in a car with their doors locked, driving fast.
But
now, Mrs. Abadir.
Can you hear me? I never went anywhere by inspiration. Wherever the continent sent me, I went.
Oh, okay. So there's a little bit of feedback, but wherever the conference sent you, you went. So wherever it was, you just made a life out of it.
Yes. Greater New York Conference sent me to Bronx Manhattan Church School because I couldn't work in Yonkers anymore. We were thinking of going back to Iran Mission, but then Iran Mission found out that my ex had resigned from the school with the request of the school board.
Wow.
So I lost my job. And the conference told me to go to Bronx, Manhattan. And the next year, the Yonkers was available because the teacher who was taking my place decided she didn't want to be there. And so I went back to Yonkers.
Let me ask you a question. What was your first experience in the South Bronx? I mean, because obviously you've touched so many lives. We know that you were supposed to be there. So tell us.
Well, we were three teachers traveling from Yonkers to Bronx, Manhattan. And the first thing that happened after we had ridden the bus and the trolley, we had to walk to school. And as we were walking from one of the high buildings, someone threw a bottle that hit my heel and crashed to pieces. And we had prayed before we had left. So you saved my head, and the bottle broke on the ground right behind my heel. And so we were thankful.
Oh, wow.
It didn't land on our heads. Two of the ladies were younger, and I was older teacher, and we were going from Yonkers to Bronx Manhattan Church School.
So you almost didn't make it that day.
That's right. If the bottle had landed on my head, I would have died right there.
Yes, unbelievable. So basically, you were there for just one semester.
For a whole school year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We've got pictures to prove it.
I know. Yes, for a whole year. Wow. What was your fondest memory of your experience in the South Bronx?
I loved to work with all those children, every one of them. Precious.
And they knew perfect English by the time you got there, right?
They didn't know a word English. So, Mrs. Alvarez.
So sorry, we spoke Spanish at home.
Yeah. We actually thought that was the right language to speak everywhere. But when,
made it known to all of you that school is going to be only English, and I had prepared my lessons in such a way that I would say things and I would ask you to repeat. I would tell and you would repeat. And so I taught you how to say everything that you had to say. If you had to go out for some reason, if you had to go for a small one, you had to raise one finger. If you had to go for a bigger business in the bathroom, so you had to say, you had to raise two fingers.
Yes, it was more like sign language. It was more like sign language. But it worked.
It did.
Let me ask a question. What would you advise? You hear about teachers today that are losing what seems a battle, especially in places like Arizona, where the majority of the kids are either bilingual or speak only Spanish when they get to school. What would be your advice to the young teachers that might be listening to our show today?
The young teachers should be sensitive to the needs of the children. Whatever the children need, they have to feel it. They have to be sensitive to it. If they see a child looking real close to the paper, that means that child needs eyes checked up. And you refer the parents to a dentist, to an optometrist, and they check up their eyes and get the glasses for them. So it depends. It depends with each school, everywhere that you are, young teachers. Be patient, be kind, and very sensitive of the children's needs. If they're bilingual, the first thing you do is help them with their English. After they know they will acquire the other subjects.
That's really good advice. Did you find, Mrs. Aberdeer, when you were working with us, that what you know that it was so much of a challenge with us not really speaking English at first that you would get discouraged. And if so, how did you deal with that discouragement to turn it into a positive energy?
It was a challenge, but I never got discouraged. I always prayed. I prayed for every single child in my class, not only in Bronx, Manhattan, in every school where I taught. I at night, whenever I was having my worship, I would pray for each student. Whatever weakness they had, I had to remember them, remind them to the Lord, and He would help me to handle the problem.
That's good.
Prayer was good.
But I tell you, prayer is the foundation, I think, you know, for everything. But I want to know, Mrs. Abadir, why were you so generous in opening your home to us?
Yes. No, it was just in my hospitality. That's my gift. That's one of my gifts, the hospitality. And when I knew that the child needed a place and she didn't have anyone to come and take her home or him home, I would just take them. In any school, I did that. If they didn't have lunch, I shared my lunch with them. One of the children in my class, in one of the schools, used to bring bread that was mildewed. And every time he would open his sandwich box, and then he would throw the whole thing in the garbage. And I checked, it was mildewed. Next time, I stopped bringing the extra sandwich for him, and I knew that he liked and jelly, so I never ate, but I brought for that child. It depends in each school what problem the children have. If they need a home,
right,
home was open. If they need food, I would bring them food. If they needed love, I would show them love. It's just the needs of the children that have to be fulfilled.
That's awesome. And we've heard that you have helped to open some schools and that you've even traveled to China. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. In China, I didn't open schools. I went to an adult school after I was retired, 1997 till 1998, I was 1 year in China. I had made a condition that if I remain 1 year there, they would refund me for my transportation. So I stayed 1 year, and I received my transportation. But there, I was helped grown up and very educated people. And I wasn't the only teacher. There were other English-speaking teachers. Actually, they were all Seventh-day Adventists. But I spoke very clearly, and the Chinese students loved my pronunciation, even though it wasn't pure American, but it was
right.
It was well enunciated. Okay? So, but it... I went back to Soviet Union fell, the General Conference sent me as Associate Education Director of Euro-Asia Division. That covers the whole former USSR from Asia to the West, to the Europe, Eastern Europe. So Ukraine and all those Baltic states, all of them were covered. And I had to travel to different states. They are called provinces in Russia. So I traveled to different provinces, and I helped the teachers to know how to teach in church school because they all had communist education. And so it was my responsibility to give them the Christian education methods. The methods.
Oh, wow. That's really neat.
The methods of approaching the children Christian way instead of the communist way, which was mostly punishment and threatening and finger shaking. And I would tell the teachers, never shake your fingers at the students. And sometimes they would be talking to me, and the students behind them would be doing some noise or something, and they would be mm-hmm. putting behind and shaking their fingers.
That's funny. So see, they had a sense of humor.
It was funny.
That's too funny. And you got to go back home because you're originally from Russia, right? Were you able to see family while you were there?
Oh, I was born there, and I was 18 years old during the Second World War when I left Russia with my mother and a ship full of Russian soldiers. They didn't send any women soldiers to Muslim countries, and Iran was the Muslim country. And there was Shah in Iran at that time, and it was free. Christian education was free, and that's where I found the Seventh-day Adventist missionaries who brought me to the Lord. And that was 1945.
Wow, 1945.
I know. Girl, I wasn't even thought of.
So 1945.
Mrs. Avenue, you have led such an amazing life.
I
want to be like you.
And I always treasure my ability of teaching. I don't think I've ever stopped teaching. I even teach the nurse, the volunteers in the hospital where I'm volunteering. Now that...
Oh, wow.
...teaching anymore because I can't drive to different schools of church schools. They're 10 miles away, each one, or 30 miles away, the other one. So I just go to the hospital, and I volunteer at the hospital. And
I'm sorry. Hold on a second. So you volunteer now?
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. I volunteer.
And you're way past the age of retirement.
Oh, yes.
I love the way she laughs.
Birthday.
Abadir, you
God
know
bless
me.
You. That's all I could say. I want to be like you, Mrs. Abadir.
Well, Mrs. Abadir, you know, we spoke a lot to you. And you know what? I'm hoping. Is Esther still on the line?
She's right beside me.
Oh,
and,
okay. Well, I wanted to ask her because you know what? With a teacher like you, Miss Abadir, and your children, you know, they love you. I know they do. I would like to know a little bit about how Esther, I mean, traveling with you, just basically, you know, what was her most fondest memories about your students and so forth and so on. Esther.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay, so talk to us.
Hey, Esther.
Hello. How are you, Ruthie?
I'm fabulous.
Well,
so
my mom
will tell us
about this all day. I just want to let you know.
Really? That is so awesome.
To answer your question, no, you said, I think, because she was passing me the phone, I think you said, how did it feel to be traveling with her and going to these different schools and everything? So, because I was in my own school for part of the time, I got a kind of a second-hand view of what went on in her school. And I think one of the things that I saw was even though her class evolved over time, she, you know, every year, of course, they they get instruction on how to become better teachers, and so she improved over time, you know. One of the things that I noticed was consistency. You know, some of the same songs were being sung, and some of the same storybooks were there, and sometimes as I got older, even, I would go back and into her classroom, and I would like to pull out some of the reading books and read through them, because it's kind of a comfort thing, you know, to go back to how life was when you were seven, six.
Yeah. I mean, I can't even grasp, you know, like, what it must have been like for you and your siblings, you know, because, you know, I know that we weren't the only ones that your mom brought in, but what was that like to have kind of, you know, like strangers thrust into your house for a few days at a time,
you know,
when you were a kid?
I'll tell you that I don't know anything different. I mean, it's how we are. It's just how it was just, it's like if you're raised in a home where everything is very private and sheltered and, you know, no outsiders are allowed in, that's all you know. But I was raised in a home where everyone was welcome, and so I think because of that, it's just kind of second nature now, and I also love having people over all the time. We're always having people over, and I treasure it. I treasure the kind of the energy that you get from different experiences with different people. So it's just something that I always knew. So I can't say that it was so unusual having people come and go. It's always fun. It's just always fun. When you're
it was fun for us to go to your house.
Well, that's good.
I mean, because the incentive was we had to be well behaved. Only the best behaved kids got to go, which for me was really hard.
Yes, it was, Ruthie. Yes, it was. Right, Miss Abadir?
It was hard.
Well, but you know what? This is the perfect time for, if anybody is listening out there. I know some of our callers, and they will call. If anyone would like to call, they can call right now at the 818-572-8027 and speak to Ms. Abadir. That's, once again, 818-572-8027. But let me tell you, I cannot the mental vision that I have of Miss Abadir and her kids, because of course we know Esther, but then we know the other siblings where they're not here with us right now, and they're awesome individuals as well. I remember just having the thought that someone actually owned their own home and had us come over. That's just kind of like, wow. It's just like I was telling Ruthie today, America, which is Ruthie's mom who passed on, she was the first businesswoman that I've ever known. And it left a big impression in my heart that I want to be a business when I grow up.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And so when with Miss Abadir, owning a home and being around people and being a Christian and having a family, that was also an impression that was left in my heart. So when people say, oh, children don't notice these things, they do.
Yes, they do.
They do notice these things. And that's what we'd say, be careful what you show your children, because what you expose them to can leave a lasting impression that may be positive for them or not.
I always, when I, like, and the, you know, the impression that, like I said at the beginning in my intro about you, Mrs. Abadir, is that, you know, when I come across educators and then we start talking about, you know, how great teachers are, and I say, my first grade teacher, and they look at me and I say, don't you remember who your first grade teacher is? And then I get them thinking. You know, and some of them, yes, automatically remember, but some of them don't go that far back. But, you know, if a great teacher, it could be in kindergarten, it could be in preschool, a great teacher, a great person, an amazing person that takes an interest not only, you know, in teaching, but in the student as a whole, you know,
yes.
You do make an impression. And from the bottom of my heart, I really thank you for everything that you do and that you have done and that you will continue doing. And I just pray God's blessings in your life. And I hear that you have a memoir coming out.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yes, Esther, we wanted to talk to Esther about that because I think Esther is helping her mom with the memoirs. So let's find out. Esther, what's going on?
I just sit and tell stories, and Esther puts them on the computer. And now we have everybody was asking, what's the title? And we didn't know. What shall we say the title is? At last, we decided it's going to be 80 years around the world.
Yay!
I love it.
Well, audience, you've heard it first here that her book will be called 80 Years Around the World. This is totally awesome. You know, I just noticed we were having so much fun chatting that we're running out of time, actually.
We really are. I am so sorry.
No, but that's okay. That's okay because, you know, we were very excited about having Mrs. Aberdeer, but also getting to know more about her. And also, I've been with Esther and Mrs. Aberdeer, and forgive me, Ella also as well, because Ella, she's an awesome, wonderful woman. And I see how they are together, and they are real people. They're not faking it, you know, when you can tell when a person has been faking it. Because the fruit doesn't fall too far from the tree. And look at Ms. Aberdeer.
Well, I mean, Mrs. Aberdeer did an amazing job, you know. She not only did it as a teacher, but she did it as a mom, as a single mom. I mean, seriously, I have so much respect for you. I cannot even put it into words. And I forgot to tell Esther that I really, really, really appreciated that spread that she and Ella put out for us when we came to visit you, because that food was off the chain. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We enjoyed it. I really did. Yeah.
I really did. I'm going to have to pop in for another visit soon.
Ms. Aberdeer, real quickly.
Yes.
So you are doing all these things. Do you know when you think your book will be coming out?
Well, I can get my autographed copy.
I'm ready to sit and write every day for 10 hours until it's done in 5 days. But Esther takes time. Esther is so busy doing all kinds of volunteer things. She's also like her mother. She's not money. She's only volunteer. She is a president of the school foundation.
Wow.
That means carries tables and chairs every Tuesday, and she helps them raise funds. I mean, that's a free job. I tell her, why don't you appoint someone from the school to do those things?
I just want to tell you so much. Thank you so much for being on the show with us. Our first show dedicated to Ms. Aberdeer. We ain't even giving up time for some of the calls.
And to all educators out there, man, because there's a lot of Mrs. Aberdeers out in the world that don't get the recognition. So thank you.
That's right.
Thank you so much. And with that said, just wanted to briefly say next week on RBI, Can Christians Work in the Media? Mr. and Mrs. Russ Jones of the Big Picture Media Group will be coming on to speak about their walk with the Lord and how they conduct business and still be Christians. And that's November 14th at 8 o'clock. Ruthie, you have a verse?
Yes.
I have a verse to share. Excuse me. I'm fighting a cold here. I wanted to share Acts 2, 16 through 18.
Uh-huh.
But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
Yes.
Oh, amen. And basically the prophesying will come once the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is upon us. But we must diligently continue each day seeking for the guidance of the Holy Spirit so that we can obtain a reborn identity. The only thing that we can take to heaven, friends, is our character. Our character should be molded by the Holy Spirit. When we allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, there will be a transformation. This is when the Spirit will be poured upon us, but not until then. So with that said, the Holy Spirit, every day, He will start changing our speaking, our thinking, and our doing. The latter-day reign is closing. Are you ready? Don't wait to start speaking for the Holy Spirit today. Start today. Is there any final words that you would like to say, Ms. Abadir?
Yes, I think that the Lord is working, and all the media, everything now, the new technology is helping to spread the gospel. And so
amen.
I hope that many, many people are giving their hearts to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit is helping them to spread the gospel and hasten the coming day of the Lord. And
amen.
Very soon. It can be seen in everything that is going on. Everything. The knowledge increases. Men run to and fro. You want to say something? Esther wants to say
something. Yeah, Esther, say something. I just want to say to all the students out there who have been touched by a teacher, please contact your teacher, because it has meant so much to my mom that you guys reached out to her. It has meant so much more than you guys could possibly know. Ruthie and Vivian, and, you know, she's in contact with some of her other students from some of the other schools, and you guys do not know how much it means to her. So look, Google your teacher. If they've meant something to you years ago, reach out to them.
I'm crying. I'm in tears. I'm such a dodo.
You know what? And on closing, I wanna say thank you, Mrs. Abadir, for attending my graduation this year, and Esther as well. It was an honor to have my first grade teacher at my graduation from the university. And
full circle. That's
full circle
right there.
And
that's
and
being the fruit of your labors, Mrs. Abadir.
Mrs. Abadir.
Well, I just wanted to end it, end our hour with a prayer, if that's okay. So if we can bow our heads or close your eyes where you're at, or if you're driving, keep them open. Thank you, Jesus, for just being so amazing and for your grace. I just want to thank you for providing us with the opportunity to have this platform to be able to talk about you and to be able to spread the word. And thank you for believing in us and for never giving up on us, even when we sometimes give up on ourselves. Thank you for raising us. And just your compassion and your love, and if there's someone out there that's hurting and maybe has some shame and doesn't want to share that with someone, I just ask the Heavenly Father that you will envelop them in your love, in your grace, and you will pick them up and take that shame away from them, dear Heavenly Father. And I just thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and continue to ask you to continue to change me and Vivian and Mrs. Abadir and everyone whose life you touch, so that we can be more and more like you every day, and to forgive us when we make mistakes, because I know that you do, but I just ask you to continue having mercy and grace and to grow us with your love and your Holy Spirit. All these things I ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your free grace.
This program is being brought to you by our proud sponsors, Rushing Media, a full-service public relations marketing and strategy company. Creative Network Solutions, creating possibilities for the future of your business. Palo Enterprises, a professional services company serving the needs of our individuals with notary, title abstract, insurance, real estate, and photography services. And Hype Seminars, preparing, exploring, achieving the power of choice seminars.